The Frank Sontag Show is brought to you by Home Comfort USA and the IRS problem solver Phil Liberatore.
Thank you for joining us here on the Frank Sontag Show. We begin with a little bit of rock and roll from my in-studio guest, who is a dear friend, Craig Parker Adams. Welcome to the Frank Sontag Show.
Thanks, Frank. It's very cool to be here.
So we just heard a little riff. We put Wayman on the spot, and he stepped up and just threw that on. Let's talk a little bit about the genre of music and your love for this thing we call rock and roll.
Wow. Well, this particular record, Vistali Buell, is a very focused record in terms of the scope of rock and roll. So it's really rock because there's no roll, meaning there's no piano and there's no horns. So it is a rock record for sure. And it's a record. It's actually the title, Vistali Buell, is something I created. It's my life's journey, actually. And there's 40 years of life that's in the notes of this record. So it's not just something I got together, put together. It's been a real long journey. And so genre-wise, instrumental, rock, guitar, but not like what comes to mind when you would hear that. So it's not like other rock guitar records where it's like I'm soloing all over the place and, hey, check me out, you know, with some fancy stuff. It's about weighted notes and simplicity. So that's the best way I would describe it. You know, in terms of influences and things of that nature, what it's embedded with, it's really pretty singular, and it really boils down to the biggest mentor in my life outside of my father and some other close friends, and that would be the artist Edward Van Halen. So this was a life's journey of trying to figure out why did this particular artist affect me in such a profound way. And so there's a big story to this whole thing. It's pretty in depth. But that's really, you know, touching on, you know, what is this record? Well, it's a salute of sorts without trying to emulate the guy.
I want to break that down a little bit. Craig Parker Adams is my guest. His website is craigparkeradams.com. I met Craig many years ago. He facilitated recording at a historic place called Winslow Court in Hollywood. We became good friends. A very short story that I think maybe I've shared on the air once or twice. Craig and I were friends, and I just knew him as a recording engineer. And one day his then-girlfriend said, because I'm thinking, if he's surrounded by music all the days of his life, if you will, I wondered if he played a little music. And very humbly he said, yeah, I play a little guitar. And then his girlfriend said, just go on YouTube and type in Craig Parker Adams. And as the story goes, I've said many times, I was shocked by what I saw, only because you're very humble. You are very gifted in playing the guitar. How long have you been playing guitar? And maybe talk a little bit about growing up and how Eddie Van Halen, or Edward as you call him, was such an influence in your life.
Well, first of all, thanks for the kind words. I appreciate that. In my business, I never really talked about, you know, what I was doing. I was there to facilitate a service. So that's kind of why when you and I met, I was kind of right in that zone of like, I'll keep my stuff to myself. So that's where that was. But really, the first guitar, according to my mom, she told me I started asking for a guitar when I was about 2 years old. But the first one that showed up was when I was 4 years old, when my parents bought a Yamaha nylon string for my older brother, who was 7 years older than me. So I just was compelled, just like drawn to that thing. But what was crazy is that they told me I couldn't touch it. And maybe that made the pull stronger, but it wasn't a toy. So they're like, you know, you don't touch this thing. So I had to sneakily get a hold of this thing. And my brother just was not interested in it at all.
Interesting. So, bought it for him. He wasn't interested. They told you hands off, Craig.
Totally. He used to, because he was going to take, he took guitar lessons, but he would play hooky on his guitar lessons and use the money for other nefarious things. And then they'd realize, well, how come he's not getting better? You know? So, but anyways, yeah. So I eventually took over that guitar. Other guitars showed up, but basically, I started having my hands on a guitar by the time 4 or 5 years old, and would get at it any chance I could for whatever the reason. I was just compelled to it. So I was born in at the end of 1968, I came out of foster care, put up for adoption, got brought into this amazing family. It was a very musical family, and everybody was into different music. So not only could I not look at anybody in the household and feel connected because we were all from different families, but our musical tastes were just so different. So I basically was just, you know, enriched completely by all sorts of different styles. And so anyways, by the time Edward Van Halen showed up, you know, that was probably 4 or 5 years in to, you know, me playing already. And what's funny is that when I first came across him, it was visual. So I didn't hear him first. I saw him first. I saw the cover of that their first record. And where I come from in Minnesota, you know, there's a lot of tribes around and reservations and things of that nature. And when I saw him on the cover of that record, I instantly thought, oh, that's what Crazy Horse looks like, you know. And I told him that, and he really liked that. But anyways, so I immediately went home, and I striped up my acoustic guitar with duct tape, and instantly everything in my life changed to like, oh, I have to listen to this guy. I have to. And then eventually I switched everything to copy him, you know. So I was playing Les Paul-style guitars, Gibson-style guitars, and so Ed was playing Strats and stuff, and so I just, you know, got a hold of a Strat, and then I just basically did anything that he did, I wanted to do. And then that really, 40 years later, you know, was a lifetime in there of trying to catch him. And I just learned very, very early on through my experiences, because I was working at a music store at a very young age, probably 14 years old. I started working at a music store, and I was privy to other really good guitar players and stuff, and they would come in and they'd play his stuff, and I was just taken by all of these really talented guys, but when they played the notes, it just didn't have it. Like, it was flat, and I was like, I don't understand what's going on here. And that led to this thing where I call it beyond the notes, where the magic of what Ed did in my mind was, it was beyond the notes. The notes would floor you, of course, but something else was happening with him. And so I spent a life trying to figure out, well, what is it? And how does he do it, you know?
Craig Parker Adams is my guest. And so just picking up from there, in the latter part of Ed's life, you actually got to know him quite well. He spent some time with you at Winslow Court. By the way, Craig's new album is called Vistali Buell. We'll get into that. Why that name? CraigParkerAdams.com is his website. So we've got a couple of minutes. What was different? And again, you call him Edward. Most of us think of Eddie, and I imagine you call him Edward out of respect and love. What was it about him? What did you discover that it was just much more than him just being very gifted at playing the guitar?
Well, I had an experience when I was 12 years old in April. It was, April of 1981, where I borrowed the record Fair Warning. This was also the first year that I saw them play. I tried to see them the year before, but my parents wouldn't let me go. anyways, excuse me. While I was listening to this record, the fourth song's called Hear About It Later, and it has this amazing, really kind of what I would call heartwarming introduction. And when I was listening to this intro in my childhood bedroom, I literally had an out-of-body, life-changing experience. And I literally, like, my heart was removed from my body. I was separated from it. And I was just watching it, and I was just going, what is happening, you know, while this introduction is playing, you know? And a very strong voice came right into my head, you know, almost like it was broadcasted, and it told me, it said, you're going to spend your entire life trying to learn how to do this, and you're going to do it by following this one artist alone, that there is a lifetime of seeking in just this one artist. And it was like given to me, like, you know, like a mission, like, this is what you're here for, kid. And so I just committed to it, and I said, okay, I'm going to do that.
And you stayed true to that mission.
I did. And it became a purity thing because I had to keep all other things that I thought would interfere with the purity of what Ed was doing. I kept it at bay. So I wasn't listening to the radio and all the other stuff. Like any band that somebody might go, oh, they're in the same category as Van Halen, I blocked them out.
Yeah.
And because I felt that Ed to me was like a spigot from the source. And it's like, I don't want to drink downstream and I don't want to convolute or pollute anything that I'm getting here. And so it was a very, very personal journey as it pertained to him.
Craig Parker Adams is my guest. We're going to break and come back. Craig brought an acoustic in. We're going to have him play a little bit as well. The album is called Vistali Buell. CraigParkerAdams.com is my guest and dear friend and quite, I always say you're a guitar aficionado and you call me, go, Frank, come on now. Even to say that.
Yeah.
I wish we were on video. Because you ain't receiving that, but you are very gifted at what you do. And thanks. Our listeners, we have a lot of musicians listening right now. Stay with us. We continue with my guest, Craig Parker Adams, with more of the Frank Sontag Show on Talk Radio 790 KABC. Welcome back to the Frank Sontag Show. That is my guest, Craig Parker Adams, and a cut from his new album entitled Vistali Buell. Why Vistali Buell of all names? I mean, that's like, what does that mean? Where'd that come from?
It's just a name I conjured up, and it was something, I was looking for like a band name, and it was kind of like a mixture in my mind of feels of band names that I really liked when I was a kid, like Pablo Cruz. You know, just something about that sounds cool, you know. Uriah Heep.
I was going to say Uriah Heep.
Yeah.
That's
just like,
came up for me.
That's cool, you know. And so Vistali Buell. And I'm like, yeah, you know. And then I would share it with people and they'd be like, no. You know? But I liked it because it's just something about it. And I knew it's like, I know I'm going to make that name. I'm going to make that name. So, you know, I that's what I'm going to do. One of the first things I did was had the name published and declared and defined. So what it technically means is, in terms of the definition, is one's life's quest or journey.
Oh, my goodness.
So that's a term. It's an official term. And so that's what it is. And I put the flag down for it. And now, you know, my goal is to really bring it to life and make it have the meaning that it should. But that's what it is. So.
It is an amazing album. We actually passed a bunch out at our KMG event, and you can go to CraigParkerAdams.com to pick your copy up. You've got an acoustic in your hands.
I do.
May we?
Yeah. There's a little thing I was going to play. Do you want me to play it right now?
Sure, that'd be great.
Okay, so.
Craig Parker Adams is my guest. Man, I wish we were on video tonight. You just, not only your facial expressions, but the ease by which you do that. You know, I want to go, I could do that. Yeah, right. But, man, what's it like to whether it's an electric or an acoustic, to have that in front of you and just put your fingers on the frets and make sound, that is a gift.
I think when it's just something that you've always done, I don't necessarily, like, I agree with you, but to me, it's more like it's just a part of what you do. So, I mean, I feel that way when I'm around guitar players that just blow my mind. So I'm not suggesting I'm blowing your mind or the listener's mind, but, you know, so I get what you're saying. But when I'm doing it, really, I hate to say something like that, but it's like I could be mowing the lawn.
Yeah,
like,
right.
I mean, it's just...
Right. Well, in my experience of you years ago, when I got to know you at Winslow Court and you did primarily recording as an engineer, you work with sound, you work with sonics. And I knew there was something about you that was very interesting because the way you talked, it was like, and some of the names, we're not name dropping, we don't need to.
Oh, let's do that. No.
But you've worked with some of the greatest, but to be able to have this ability to put sound together and mix and edit and then also play, I mean, maybe from the outside looking in, because I don't know what I'm talking about. I just think when I was 8, 9, I saw the Beatles and then Sullivan, and that was it for me in rock and roll. This has been your life and a journey in terms of what we're talking about with Vistali Buell for more than 40 years. So let's talk. We've got about 5, 8 minutes. I want to keep you for one more segment after that. Talk about your actual relationship with, I'll say, Edward Van Halen, when he came to Winslow Court and found out when you shared you're putting together this album, but yet it had been, since I knew you, in the works for decades.
Right. Well, I should, okay, so let me set that up.
Sure.
In 2000, okay, so when Ed came to the studio, it was in 2014, but I had a meeting with him in 2010 at up at Frank Zappa's studio with Dweezil Zappa and another guy named Mike Wolf. And we were all there to give Ed a bunch of recordings for him to write the record that ended up becoming their record called A Different Kind of Truth. And so we were, because I was part of, I was a collector of things, and so all of us were collectors of stuff, and Ed was trying to get a hold of old recordings. So anyways, at this meeting, that voice that I had in 1981, while Ed's sitting right across from me, he's talking to me, he's looking into my eyes, I have no idea what he's saying to me, and all of a sudden, that broadcast voice came back into my head, and it said, okay, it's now time for you to get off this guy's shoulders. You need to leave him be. You need to now bring your voice to the surface from all that you've learned from him, and you basically need to get off of his back. And, I mean, that just blew me away, right? I was like, wow, okay. So I actually quit playing guitar. I left that meeting and I stopped. I took at least a year off. And then I ended up regressing back to before I ever even heard of Ed. And that's when this record really started to come to fruition. I found the guys, Stretch Head is the bass player and Carl Morelli played drums on the record. And when we got together, we had a sound. And so it's like, let's make a record. So anyways, that started. And so let me just jump ahead to 2014. So Ed comes back because he needs more, he needs recordings again. They have to do this second record to fulfill their contract. So their contract. So now he has to come over to my place. And so now it's just him and I, you know, and we ended up really hitting it off. And he ended up spending, you know, a few hours with me. And I basically, you know, told him my life story as it pertained to this record and what I was working on. And then also the fact that what we haven't shared with the listener yet, but is that, you know, the thing that I pursued about Ed for literally like 35 years was I actually didn't watch his hands and his fingers when he played. I watched his feet. And that's true. I watched his feet. And so there's a whole story behind that, and there's a video out, an interview where I talk about all of that stuff. It's called The Origins of Vistali Buell on YouTube or on my website. But he was fascinated by all of this, so he became a big supporter to me of it, and he was excited to hear it, you know. And so he just basically wanted to hear the record mixed, and I didn't get it mixed in time before he passed. But I could call him, talk to him. You know, we would, you know, have discussions basically, you know, anytime I needed advice or things like that. So he just basically was thrilled that he even inspired me at all, you know. But I basically, what this record really is for me is it's like, it was a cathartic life situation in terms of my whole entire life issues. And then it was following Ed literally at the submolecular level. So I was really looking forward for his response because I'm talking to his DNA. Mm. That's what I was reaching out. That's what I was striving to do. I don't do any of the things that most guitar players that copy Ed's vibe or his, you know, his tricks, all the things like I can do that stuff, but I don't do that stuff. And this record is not about that.
Correct.
It's more so it's like when that guy played an A chord, it like, to me, I would describe it as the earth opening up. He just had a touch and a way to convey a feel that was not only alluring to me, but just millions.
Millions.
Yeah.
No doubt about it. Craig Parker Adams is my guest. The album is Vistale Buell. Go to CraigParkerAdams.com. A very short story for the listeners. We'll come back with our final segment with Craig. I've told you this story. In 1977, I was a manager at Rock and Roll Ralph's on Sunset. And Box Girl, we called them Box Girls at the time, girls, boys, little, really cute girl, said, "My boyfriend's playing at Gazzari's down the road. They're playing tonight. You know, would you like to go?" And at the time, I was really into rock and roll. I said, "No, thank you." I'm thinking, you know, whatever. And all sorts of local bands, small bands, were at Gazzari's.
Yep.
So a short time later, about a week later, she comes in, and I could tell she was very distraught. And she said, "My boyfriend and I broke up." And she said, they did so amazing, though. She said, "They're about to sign a record deal." And I said, what are they called? And again, no one heard. She said, "Van Halen." I said, "What was your boyfriend's name?" She said, "Eddie Van Halen." And so I guess, in a matter of speaking, the rest is history. But that was my glimpse into the beginnings of Van Halen on Gazzari's on Sunset. And then here we are, you know, a number of decades later. And what Van Halen has done in the world of rock, it just is astounding.
It is. Absolutely. It's funny. When you said, like, how I call him Ed or Edward, I think, yeah, it's like the ultimate of how I can endear him. Mm-hmm. And that's how I spoke with him. I never called him Eddie because everybody calls him Eddie. And I thought, what would his mom call him, you know? And but even he referred to himself as Eddie. So, like, when he'd call me and leave, voice messages, and he'd say, "Yeah, it's Eddie."
There's a little gift on Vistale Buell. I won't give anything away, but I will urge the listeners to pick it up. CraigParkerAdams.com. We're going to get one more segment with Craig. Vistale Buell is the album. Craig Parker Adams is my guest. More of the Frank Sontag Show next. Talk Radio 790 KABC. Welcome back to the Frank Sontag Show, Talk Radio 790 KABC. My guest is Craig Parker Adams. That was him. That is him. The album is called Vistale Buell. CraigParkerAdams.com is the website. When you were kind enough to give me a copy of Vistale Buell, you said, I think I said something like, "I want to listen to maybe, you know, kind of sample the tracks." And you said, "No, if you would just do me the honor, start with the first."
Oh, yeah, yeah.
"Listen all the way through with headphones on."
Yes.
"Because it's a journey." And yeah. I have to tell you, I did that because we're good friends, but I kind of got it.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, it just kind of took a life of its own on.
Yeah. Well, it was 100% designed to do that. Like, there was a lot of... Although the notes really boil down to, you know, beyond heart as it relates to me, because it's every note is a part of my life. There was something cathartic going on to the notes, so they are charged. Okay, so this isn't just a record; It's actually designed to, I'm aiming it at your DNA, and I'm aiming it at healing whatever ails you. And that doesn't matter who the listener is, where they're coming from, whatever their issues may be. That's what I tried to do. It's a healing situation. So the record's 33 minutes and 30 seconds long. It is a ride. There's an arc to it. It moves. So I always recommend people listen in the headphones because, first of all, you can embed the notes deeper. So on a conscious level, you may not be, you know, interested in what you're hearing, or maybe it's not, you know, hitting you in a profound way, or maybe you're distracted by this, that, or the other, but your biology knows. So I'm going right beyond your consciousness, and I'm talking to your biology. That's what I set out to do. It was conscious that I set out to do that, and that's what it is. So you put it on, and that's been basically the feedback. Now, the thing about the headphones, because you can get a better delivery system, but this record is all about learning the best things that I've learned from my experiences and from others. And one thing I learned from David Gilmour from Pink Floyd is he said how he always regretted the fact that he could not listen to Dark Side of the Moon for the first time in headphones.
Oh, wow. I did not know that story.
Because he created the record, so he couldn't be in that position, and he always wanted to be in that position because that's what everybody would comment on to him. Like, oh, it's an amazing experience. You put on the headphones. He's like, well, he can't have that experience. Kind of like Brian Wilson only being able to hear out of one side. He doesn't hear in stereo. So basically, I wanted to make sure that I was doing something that was a headphone situation, and then also on the other hand that it would create a focus of sorts where the listener can get embedded with this feel thing that I'm really trying to deliver and convey, and really for their benefit. As maybe that sounds arrogant or ignorant, but really it was for that. That's what I'm trying to do.
And let me say, for me, after I did that, there were three or four cuts that I just kind of, in a seminal way, yearned to go back to and lean in.
Yeah.
And I know a couple of times, I won't name particular cuts, but one cut in particular, I just started having like all sorts of interesting experiences with the song. I'd hear something, it reminded me of something, a past memory. And I mean, I really appreciated the effort. And how long, 40 years for this album? In truth,
yeah. The declaration came in April of 1981. And the last track that I did on the record, which was recorded last year in around April. And what's crazy about this is that I actually got to use the same, exact same guitar that Edward used on a record of theirs called Women and Children First from 1980. Mm. So I got to write the final song, which is a tribute for a great guitar player and Ed aficionado, which I call Ed Heads. So this is my favorite Ed Head, and he took too soon, too early, and I knew that I was going to tribute him on this record, and I got to do it with Ed's guitar.
Wow.
Or, sorry, the guitar that Ed used. It wasn't his guitar. He borrowed it from a guy named Chris Holmes. That was the last thing that I did on it, and I wanted to make sure that I had everything completed before I used fresh new energy to do this thing for him, because everything else is related to my childhood, my early years, and so there was a lot of healing and a lot of cathartic things that I had to go through. So I had to dig very, very deep. And then also, too, like you touched on before, you know, I work on the other side of the glass, you know, making records for people, engineering, producing, whatever it may be. And I've done that for a few decades. So when you do that, you take on their energy. Like, you know, if you're working on a record, it's going to wear on you. So I had to learn how to let that run off of me, where I wasn't, you know, getting saturated with other artists' energy because I didn't want to bring that to my notes.
For sure.
You know, so that's another reason why that and then other just life issues, you know. So I was very, very respectful to the process where if I didn't feel it, I wouldn't do it. If I wasn't 100% fresh in my being, I was like, no, I'm not working on it, you know, and it created tensions around me because, well, what's taking so long? You know? I was like the boy who cried wolf, you know. So,
are you still working on that album,
exactly,
Craig?
Yeah. People was just like, you know. But when I completed it, other than the fact that, sadly, Ed passed, it really was – like a real, it was it, at that point, it was kind of gum on my shoe.
Yep. You were ready to release it.
Oh, man.
And it is Vistali Buell. That's Craig Parker Adams' brand new album. You can find out more about the album and all the stuff that Craig does at CraigParkerAdams.com. One last question and then a closing comment. So a lot of guys or gals or the music industry, you make an album and you go on tour. People listening right now, other than you playing the acoustic and maybe some of the people know you, question, are you going to go out and play in Poison at all?
Yeah, that is what is next. You know, the thing is like my clients, you know, people that make a living out playing, I call them the achievers. So it's now time for me to go out with the achievers and be an achiever. So, yeah, I'm going to have to do that. You know, at this stage of the game, I mean, I used to play in bands years ago and do gigs and all of that. So I've been through that. And so to do that again, it's like, but you know what? It's like that's what it's going to take. And, you know, there's something really special about when you can perform for others. So that's what's happening. Next up is, a series of, you know, booking a tour, you know, going through all the rehearsals. And it's just not going to stop. Like, you know, I'm building the web presence. I'm doing everything that the achievers do. But, you know, this is my life. And so, you know, I got sidetracked for a couple decades where it's like, why am I doing this for all these other artists? Well, it was to actually make me a more enriched and well-rounded artist myself. So it was I didn't understand it at first, but now I totally do. But yeah. I do want to go out and play, and I want that to be what my life turns into, you know, more so. That's what I work towards. So,
last question, and probably not fair. We've got a couple of minutes, and it's just something off the wall. Jerry Lee Lewis just passed, and throughout generations, when you hear the term rock and roll, there's always been this idea it's not going to sustain. It's not going to last. It's dead. So for somebody that's kind of got that smile on his face right now, what do we say to that? And what is it about rock and roll?
Well, so everything you just said, and then one thing that was really kind of huge when I was a kid is that rock and roll is a young man's game or a young person's game.
Right.
No, it's not. Because the ones who started it kept teaching us, you know, they're still doing it. What else was he going to do? You know, that's the most beautiful thing. So whether it's the Stones or McCartney or whatever, whoever you want to look at, you know, if you're a musician and that's what you do, like Ed very famously had said, it's like, you know, I'm going to do this till I drop. So for those of us I'll say for the achievers that are out there that have made a life out of it, I like to think of myself as that as well, but I have to be honest. I haven't been out touring, so I can't take any credit like I know what that's like. So I've been in the studio, you know, just making thousands of sessions, hundreds of records. So that's my authenticity. But rock and roll or music in general, it is not a young person's game. And not only that, it's it does not die as long as it's living in your bones. So it's living in my bones, and I'm not the only one. That's the other thing, you know. It's like the demographic grows older with you.
Yep.
So that's super cool because then, you have this kind of an alignment of sorts. But, I mean, you can look at YouTube and watch, you know, these reaction videos, and, you know, there's plenty of young people that they get the bug. The same, if they're exposed to it, you can see it change them or affect their lives right there before your eyes. like it did for you when you were a kid, or like it did for me. So you just do it. And you know, the big thing is getting over all the psychological, you know, trip ups of like, oh, I don't look cool enough, or I don't have this, or I don't have, like, you got to just get beyond that stuff and you just got to do it.
Yeah. Praise God.
Yeah.
Craig Parker Adams is a dear friend of mine and has been my guest. We're going to start doing in the new year, I'm going to start doing some podcasts that you'll be able to download. Craig will be one of my first guests, at least in studio for an entire hour, so we can get down to the real stories. But for now, CraigParkerAdams.com is his website. His brand new album is Vistali Buell. If you go to CraigParkerAdams.com, there's other ideas, other things that you can partake in and get involved with. And Craig, I love you. Best with the record, and thanks for coming in, and we will see where we go from here.
Thanks. I love you back. I love your show. I love what you bring to the table, and everybody here at the station is super cool, and thanks for the listeners that held on to hear what we were discussing.
Amen.
Know, super cool.
All right. Craig Parker Adams, and we will continue with more of this, the Frank Sontag Show, Talk Radio 790 KABC. Thank you for joining us here on the Frank Sontag Show, Talk Radio 790 KABC. My thanks again to Craig Parker Adams, who's actually going to hang here in the studio. And I had an idea that just completely went out the window as we were hearing the return, which is Craig. And maybe we can turn Craig's mic on. And let me just say this. For those of you that listened last Friday night, we kind of ran our first best of. I was up in the mountains with 65 plus other guys for my men's ministry retreat. And we do this twice a year. We go up locally up to Angeles Crest Christian Camp and kind of get after it. We teach Friday nights, Saturdays, a couple of sessions. We do some activities and a movie Saturday night. I'll tell you the movie we played. And then Sunday morning, we do kind of communion and baptism. And Craig actually came. I invited him to come up, and Craig gratefully accepted. And I've said this to you privately. I had a blast rooming with you and just hanging out. Now, I'm not looking for anything in particular, but I just would like you to tell the listeners a little bit, kind of succinctly, a little bit about your experience. You didn't know what you were getting into.
I had no idea.
And?
Yeah.
How was it?
To be honest, it gets me emotional because I it was really something special. I was not expecting it to be what it was. I didn't know. I was like, why? What am I going to this for? What is this going to be? All of that. And then, of course, you know, the comfort level that you and I have together, of course. So that made it great. But the way everybody got along. And then also when you start hearing and seeing other people's stories, I learned really, really fast that that there's a lot of people are going through a lot of different heavy stuff.
Yep.
And to see, you know, the support and the communication and just the whole vibe of being in the mountains, just the whole everything about it, it really was something extremely special. And the stories of others, the hardships that they're going through, seeing people's lives changed like in the moment as I did over those few days, it's like, first of all, I'll never forget it. I won't. And I mentioned to you for at least the first three or four nights that I returned home with my wife, every night as I bed down, it's like I was just, all of these moments were coming back to me of what I had seen, of how important it is what you and your team does that, I mean, man, there's a lot of people hurting.
Yep.
And just to see them smiling, to see hope on their face, to see them charged up to get back and to improve, and also to this gratitude thing. That's what I took away from me. I'm like, man, I'm not in the same position a lot of these people are. You know, it's like I'm not going through anything like what a lot of these guys are going through. And so I'm like, what is this? And I was like, oh, this is to remind me to be grateful for the things that I've gone through and where I am now and the things that are in my life. So it was a gratitude wake-up call for me to bite in a little deeper to the apple and to really savor what it is, because, man, when you're in that circle with all the guys, I mean, I think there was closer to 70 or 80 guys, it seemed to me.
Yeah, I think we did have that.
But the first night, you know, at the bonfire, I mean, I heard some stories that just blew me away.
Hard to contemplate, hard to even imagine the lives the childhoods and what some of these guys have gone through.
Absolutely.
We partner with a Dream Center here locally, and we try to sponsor at least 20 or 25 guys in program working to stay sober and clean. And this particular retreat was no exception. Thanks to Phil Liberatore from IRS Problem Solvers. He sponsored so many of the guys, and yeah, they're just trying to get it together.
Yeah.
From, you know, overcoming odds that are even hard to comprehend.
Well, I think also you could tell, at least I felt I could tell, that lives were changed in two days, or really, you know, a day and a night and a little bit of a morning. Lives were changed.
Yeah.
And not one guy, not two guys, like a dozen or more. And I would say probably everybody there, but at least the ones that you could really see it on them, like, because there was a little more special attention towards them, I think. Man, it's just what a valuable thing. And I thought, it's like, this is for everybody, no matter how successful, no matter where you are in your life. If you're in a situation like that, just to be around a bunch of people who are explaining what they're up against or what they've been through or what they're aiming at, it is going to affect you.
Yeah, this was our sixth, I believe. Mike says we've got seven in the books, regardless of whether it's six or seven. We've learned this is not necessarily just a Christian men's retreat.
Not at
this
all.
This is a men's retreat.
Yeah, yeah.
From all walks of life. I love what you said about whatever, successful, struggling. We've really learned to listen to the tempo and the way in which guys are trying to figure out the way society is and culture. And one of the methods of our madness is, we've got a few minutes here, is the Saturday night movie. Now, stereotypically, we will play some kind of war movie or something, but we had the idea of running Father Stew.
Yeah, that movie floored me. Yeah.
Which I've seen it three times now, and I think I've talked about it on the radio program here. There was just something about that Saturday night with Father Stew, waking up Sunday morning, having communion, and then getting in 38. It was 38 degrees in the water, by the way.
Yeah.
Baptizing in 38 degree water. It was so cold. I didn't even feel it until I got out.
Yeah.
And it was weather. We had some weather fog. We got a little rain. We got everything.
Yeah.
So thanks for being, I'm sure you wouldn't necessarily look inside and say it took some courage to go, but when I invited you, I mean, I just try to imagine. You don't know anybody. You know me. We can hang. But if you're anything like me, I'm usually quick to go, nah, I don't think so, because I like to stay in my comfort zone. And yet, it just, from my experience hanging out with you, I mean, it was just effortless.
Yeah. I'm pretty laid back with things like that. I grew up in a situation where I was around a lot of group type situations for whatever, you know, family reasons and things of that nature. Drugs, alcohol, things like that for a family member and the groups and everything that goes along with that. So I had that real young. So I'm pretty open-minded. And then the idea, like what you're talking about with the Christian aspect of it or whatever, it's like, you know, really, I don't know what that term conjures up for different people. But for me, because I know you, I just knew that this is going to be something interesting. And then also something inside of me was talking a little bit deeper, like going, no, you need to go to this. This will be fun. And so I was very excited to go. And so to me, the how I viewed the Christian aspect for how the people that I saw that were there, listen, all I saw were people trying to reach what I would call their highest possibility.
That's right.
They're trying to improve themselves or get over their woes. And that, to me, is part of what I call the win-win-win equation. There's a lot of guys there that went home, that their households, their family life, their relationships have been improved because they got to see other guys go through whatever they went through, you know. So it's for everybody. It's not just for guys.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So everybody wins from that sort of situation.
And let me also say, if you're listening right now, we have another one coming up in March, but I want to impart upon you, after the weekend ends on Sunday, it's not like you just go home. For those that want to stay in touch, we try to walk alongside some of the guys, disciple them, and we've got our next man camp, or we call it the Sonship Warrior Program, coming up in March. So franksontag.com is just the website to find out all the stuff we do. It's good to be back in studio. I told Craig right before we cracked the mics, I feel like I haven't done this in my entire life. A guy that's been doing this for 30-some-odd years. It's very strange, but it's good to be back in studio and good to hang with you, Craig. And the best is yet to come. Vistali Buell, Craig Parker Adams, ParkerAdams.com is the website. And it's been such a treat to hang with you for the hour.
My pleasure, man. Really, thank you so much.
You got it. Yep. And for those listening in the KBC listening audience, our number two, you better put your seatbelt on. We're going to get into some things that are happening in culture. I've got a crazy story about a guy who claimed to be an atheist and nearly died. That and much more. Your calls as well. More of the Frank Sontag Show next. Talk Radio 790 KABC.
The Frank Sontag Show is brought to you by Home Comfort USA and the IRS problem solver Phil Liberatore.